program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. On the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, would you share some helpful information with us tonight?
Well, I'm going to share some helpful information that was given to me, and to not just to me, for me, but for us as we are doing Hope in the Night. There's a couple that has been very meaningful to me. Susan and Freddie Rodriguez, and they have been with the Sheriff's Department doing all kinds of things for a number of years. And meanwhile, here is someone that I mentioned last night who has a real heart for those who are law enforcement officers, those who are peace officers. And I met this woman. She wants to take our material to basically help officers, those who are dealing with people, but in giving solutions. What she said was giving solutions to officers on topics such as stress, anxiety, anger, fear, etc. And I'm talking about someone who's been in this field for a great deal of time that I met for the first time just a couple days ago. And basically she wants to leave a mark, a legacy to help not only the peace officers, but she wants to help others with the ramification of all that these officers can do. And so we'll be talking with her more in depth. But this is what occurred as Susan, who's been a part of the Sheriff's Department, she indicated to me that on the way to the Hope Center, the two of them talked about issues plaguing our, not just the Dallas community, but just the law enforcement world and the law enforcement officers. And she said tears fell as we discussed the stories, the antidotes, the solutions to today's issues, and the tension that permeates the law enforcement community. Susan said, it's the elephant in the room of which no one wants to talk about, and it causes a ripple effect. You can feel civil unrest, as she said, as the officers answer the calls. There is such animosity against officers, but they don't know what they're going to engage. Officers are concerned. They're harboring feelings of responsibility because they're taught in the academy to help and serve people, to remedy solutions, to help issues that would arise on their tour of duty. And they are to do whatever it takes to save lives and to keep order. And Susan said something kind of interesting. She said, we do it with bubble gum and barbed wire in an attempt to fix problems. In other words, they don't have all that they need to help, but they're going to do their dead level best. And so she said, we're supposed to have all the answers, but this can wear an officer down. Officers are trained to quickly respond and to have a sense of duty of which we're sworn to uphold the law. We are the doers. We take action. And as we traveled up Central Expressway, which is this major thoroughfare from where she is to the Hope Center, where we are as a ministry, Hope for the Heart, They just discussed the feelings of helplessness. It was kind of a weariness, a despondency. And yet, I could tell she was using a scripture as a background. There's one of my favorite passages. I used to sign it at the bottom of a page when I would write letters, and it was 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And so, in this correspondence to me, she said, we need solutions. So when all else fails, we run to the truth, the Word of God. And she said, what does the Word of God have to say? That's what we need to see. And so as she talked with this lieutenant who I met only, I guess that was just yesterday, you know, she asked, my friend Susan asked, her name is Deborah Bell, a lieutenant of the Dallas Sheriff's Department, you know, what her concerns were, what are the goals, what are the objectives. And I think it would be helpful for you to hear, assuming I can deal with this tomorrow and there's not something else that's an emergency, I'd like to share this with you, because you're, and ask you to pray for the initiative that they want to put forth to help the officers.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We're here because of your ongoing prayers and support, and we do thank you. If you have questions or concerns about something going on in your life, you can call our care center at 800-488-HOPE. They can help you access our resources, the same ones June counsels from as she helps each caller. Now, the number again is 800-488-4673, or you may email customercare@hopefortheheart.org. That's customercare@hopefortheheart.org. Send your questions regarding tonight's topics and resources that were discussed in the program. Now let's welcome our caller.
Well, welcome back, Becky. So glad you called. How can we help you?
Well, still dealing with a lot of grief and concerned about my 25 and 24-year-olds who are trying to tell mom what to do and am trying to give them space and also try to help them see that I'm going to be okay, even though I've been sick in the past. I'm well for right now, mm-hmm. for today, and that I've been holding down a full-time position for the last 4 weeks, and am doing something I've never done in my life, and because I'm a
what are you doing?
Position, actually.
Yes,
so
yes.
Now that door is shut for a while. We don't really know how long artists are going to be back, but I'm one of those, and my children have really decided that I have to go into a retirement home or something like that, which I'm only 54 years old. And it's just, I just feel like that's really not the answer. And I wish I could do what they want me to do, but it's just not me. It's not who I am. And I'm not even old enough to be in one of those places. So I guess I'm asking your help to help me as a mom of two children who've lost their dad, who was very involved in their lives through every kind of activity you can possibly imagine, was always there for the performances or the ball games or the whatever. And we raised them together and homeschooled them till they went to college at 16, and both of them have done very well, and they're both now married. But it's very difficult because I almost feel like they're just kind of throwing their hands up and saying, well, you're going to have to, you know, be in a home or whatever. And I'm just feeling very, very unsure about the future. With them.
You said you're feeling unsure about the future, and then you paused, with them. Is that right?
With them, yes.
Okay,
exactly.
So you're not really that concerned about the future. By the way, no one knows for sure the future. But
there's
a past that can help with the predictability of the future, and yet God, our God and Savior, He is the unknown factor in terms of what He has planned, can be a marvelous surprise. And in other words, when He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, what that means is it's His plan, not my plan, not your plan. But you see that it is hope-filled. And so what is important is, because I remember, as we talked about, what you truly know, and what that you've yielded your will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, correct?
Correct. And going to a different church that's smaller, where I feel very, very welcomed and loved. And it's been a long time. I mean, we're talking 13 years, I think, or 14 years that I finally found a place where I feel like I belong. And that there are some older people there, and a few people that are kind of in my shoes or have been in my shoes or a little bit further down the road and have been extremely, extremely kind. And the pastor is wonderful, and it's a woman, and I can hear from her that almost better than a man, because I was really, really abused as a child by a horrible man. And I know they're concerned about my physical condition because I've had a lot of issues and should really be dead. I mean, in all honesty, I should be dead, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I took care of my husband for 2.5 years. And
that was with ALS, which is, am
correct.
I not correct? Yeah. And
yes,
that's
very
serious.
And it's a very hard disease to do.
Yes, yes.
It is not easy. And
no, it's physically hard. I mean, there's the emotional part, but the challenge and the trajectory of what is always typical with ALS is just very rugged. And
you just don't know. And I had no clue he was going to die that day. I mean, I could talk to him 30 minutes before he died. I mean, it was so fast. I mean, it wasn't fast, but it was fast. It was. I talked to him at 9. I said, I'm going to go get ready. And then at 9:30, he died. And I didn't have a chance to call them before he died. And I felt terrible about it. But I didn't know. I had no clue.
My question is, are they blaming you for that?
This lady that had lost her husband like 3 years ago from church said, they know they can't be mad at God, so they're mad at you. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was like, That feels exactly what it feels like, because that's how it feels. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. I just know that they're determined that I'm going to sell my home and leave. And, you know, I mean, it's just really, really fast. I mean, it's been 4 months and 12 days. I mean, or maybe 13 days, but it has 4 months might sound like a long time, but when you have been reliant on a person to be your protector and your provider, because he provided until the day died, and then... and it was very, very hard. And unfortunately, as a veteran, a man has 2 times greater chance of getting ALS than a regular man. So we had no idea that this was the lane that God was going to put us in. And it really shook us as a couple up, because there is no cure. There's just medicines and there's procedures and all of that. And he didn't want any of it because he just didn't want to live in the way he was living. And we chose not to do those invasive procedures because he said, I don't want to live that way.
Okay.
That was his choice. That wasn't my choice. That wasn't their choice, but that was the choice that he wanted. And so he quit eating on Friday and died on Tuesday. I mean, it was that fast. And because his tongue wouldn't work anymore. And it just was hard. It was so hard. And like I've said before, I thought I was ready. I thought I would be ready, but I wasn't ready. I don't ever think that you can get ready for a death of a man that you've loved for 33 years.
Yes.
I mean, we were together longer than I've been alive. And so, and I went straight from my parents' home to being married and with him, and loved him dearly. And I mean, we had a lot of losses from, you know, miscarriages and those kinds of things that brought us together in a way that we wouldn't have been so supportive of each other because we were really wanting a big family. And, mm-hmm. you know, and we only ended up having two children mm-hmm. naturally. And then we had a foster child for a while, and then we lost her. So we had a lot of losses that that girded our relationship. And then we had the loss of him, of his ability to be able to make money and those kinds of things, and going through dementia with him was really hard. And so I want to be the best, the strongest mom I can be for my two beautiful children who are hard workers like their dad and are beautiful people. And they've married people that they love, and I'm all for that. I'm trying to back them as best as I know how. But I haven't been alone. I mean,
yes,
I just haven't.
You've always had a husband there, but
it's very, very hard, and I don't know if they really understand how close we were, or I just don't. I mean, because they weren't here during, I mean, they were here off and on during the whole thing, but I don't think that they realized how much closer we got, because I was all he had for a while. And then the last year we had help and all of that. You know, that you have, and
yes, hospice, yes, healthcare,
everything, and the VA, and all that stuff.
Well, when we come back,
sure,
I'm going to ask you about who can give objective information, because, you know, understand, they have not been through it with the spouse. They are young adults, and there is wisdom in years. Not with everyone, but the opportunity for wisdom is based on experience, and they haven't been there. So I have some thoughts, and I'll just run those by you and see, would some of these thoughts that I have be possible?
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at LifelineToHope.org. That's LifelineToHope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart. And make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller in just a moment. Our care teams are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. If you'd like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Now, when you call, follow the prompts and leave a detailed message, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible and get you scheduled for the next available Hope in the Night. That number again, 800-644-4817. Now, let's get back to tonight's caller.
Well, my friend, I just believe that there are times when people can think they're right, like your son and your daughter. People can think they're right. And honestly, they say, well, I'm looking out after your best interest, but not understanding the whole dynamic. And that means sometimes, and I hate to say this, but, you know, I'll put it this way. I'm going to put it in a totally different category. At one time, I was a youth director, and there'd be these young people, they loved me. I mean, it was just like, my goodness. And I started all kinds of things, like a Sadie Hawkins Singers Washtub Band, which is a hoot. And it was great. I started a drama group. I had 600 in the junior high division. But you know, during that time, there were kids that started the push away from parents because these are teenagers. They were the younger teenagers. And sometimes they would get an attitude, certain ones, not all of them. But you and I know that this is one of the toughest times for parents, for many parents, because they're not used to their son, their daughter, having an attitude. It's like they change. And I've seen parents weep. They wept with me saying, I can't believe I've lost my child. I've lost my teenager. I said, this is a typical pushback phase. They're trying to become individuals. There's a like a $100 word called individuation, which means they're becoming individuals and not just going by what a mom and a dad would say. And it can be so painful because what I just said is don't give up. Don't assume that your child will never return. But what was fascinating, when I was brought into a dynamic, here's the parent, here's the teenager, and then there's me. You know, if I said, I really think this would be the best thing, and I would mention whatever the predicament was, I would mention a solution, and this teenager would go, oh, okay. It'd be like, and I think, but your mom just said that. You know, but if I said it, it was golden. I saw this over and over and over, and I began to really feel huge pain and tenderness for so many parents, because they were actually saying the right thing, but they couldn't be heard at that time. And I didn't want to take the place of the parent. I wasn't trying to take the place of a parent. It's just that I wasn't the parent. And that somehow made a difference so that I could, as June Hunt, I could offer wisdom that, you know, I was only in my 20s myself. But my point is, there are times, this is what I learned. This is one of the things I learned. At times, a wise parent can say what is truly best, But sometimes that cannot be heard because of the already relationship of parent-child. And sometimes an outsider has to be brought in. Now, the Bible does talk about a mediator. There are times when the Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors. And it's not, I'm going to emphasize this, it's not about you in the cases that I'm talking about. It wasn't about those parents who were wise. It was the dynamic of the day or the dynamic of that time where it's like they, it's like there's this resentment toward either a mother or a father or both. And I had such compassion. I felt such compassion for these parents. Did I know everything I should do at that time? No, I was still in my 20s. And so, I can promise you, I did whatever I could to help the family dynamic. Now, let's make it today. Today means your day. It is possible that you can be saying all the right things, but you can't be heard. And it's not that you can't be heard, but at least somehow you're not being heard and not being understood. They may hear the words you say, but they have a different opinion. And I'm going to be very blunt about development, human development. I'm not against young adults. I remember being a young adult. I remember times when I thought I was absolutely right and I was wrong. I was sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. I wasn't being malevolent. I wasn't trying to be wrong. I was sincere, but I was, again, sincerely wrong. Now, that means, in your case, I wonder if there is someone that you have, it may be someone you have fairly recently met. I'm talking about you have a high regard for the pastor. You have, you are finding you are relating very, very well to in this new church. You seem to really respond to the people that you've met thus far, where you feel accepted, you feel valued, and you said these words. You said, "I feel welcomed and loved." You're in this smaller church. The pastor is wonderful. I'm reading the notes that I made from what you said. Is all of that correct?
That's absolutely correct. I haven't felt loved like that since my daughter was 12 years old, and she's 25. So it's been 13 years of trying to find the right combination. And before my husband got really, really sick, we were attending a church because they occupied the church that we just used to go to. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was really hard, because the people that were there weren't there anymore, except for a few. But for my husband, he loved going there because he knew the building and he knew how to get in and out of the doors with his chair and everything. And because it's electric, you know, and it makes a difference for him. And it had a family bathroom, and I mean, just things that you need when you're disabled.
You have ALS.
Like he was.
Yeah, sure.
But it really was not the right place for me to fit in, because it was just too big. And that's great. I'm grateful that it's big, but for me right now, I mean, my best friend found it. She was here. We were trying to get a celebration of life service done, so that we got it done through my son's church, because it just happened that they could do it at the time that we needed it to be done, and they could have their friends come and that kind of thing.
And
I
you're
was
talking
just
about,
thinking about them.
Yeah,
I wasn't
yeah the
really
service for your husband. Yeah.
And this is for them, their friends. Some of my friends came, but really it was there for them. And I told them before the service, I said, when we were getting ready, I said, I want y'all to know, everybody here, you can have whatever response to anything. If you decide you want to talk, talk. It's great. I don't want you to feel like you can't cry or you can't, you know, whatever. It may be worship or whatever it is. But I want you to know that I may cry. I may not. I don't know. You know, honestly, I didn't know. And it was a beautiful service. And it was very well received by everyone. And but we still have two more to go, which makes it very difficult.
Are you saying two more services that you need to celebration of life services?
Yeah, we are. We have to. We have a military service to do in Florida, and then we have a burial at sea. And so I'm trying to get that together, and it doesn't look like my son's going to be able to go, but at least my daughter will be able to. But still, I do have family there in the area, so that's a good thing. But but this is going to be the military service for me, and the burial at sea for me is going to be very hard. Because this is the final, these are the final resting places for him, and it's been very difficult to try to put it together at a time where the people that want to be there, his family, his friends, his whoever, it's just really hard. And and I don't even think that they realize how hard it is.
They probably don't. No. But there's an emotional part of this.
I'm sorry.
No, there's an emotional part of this.
Yes, there's a lot still left to go. And you know, and I'm trying to think ahead and not completely lose my mind trying to do these things that need to be done. But they're difficult.
Well, let's come back and then determine if there seems to be a logical path. And these there are options, too. There's not just one way. It's just kind of like when there's a problem, somebody say, well, there's only one solution. No, you can have, there's two and two is four. There's one and three is four. They still get to four, but you know, and there's zero plus four as equals four. My point is, there's not just one way to do something. But let's see. I want you to be praying about: is there someone also who could be a part of the solution?
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. It's a ministry of hope for the heart, and we're here because of your ongoing prayers and continued support. If you have questions about something going on in your life, even about what salvation means, our care center is available to take your call at 800-488-HOPE. They can point you to the free downloads of our quick reference guides through the website hopefortheheart.org. The number again is 800-488-8673. Now back to our caller.
Well, Becky, I hear you. I hope you feel heard by me.
Yes, I do.
Do you? Okay. And I know what it's like to actually be involved in certain situations where, like, I don't know what to do. I'm not a helpless Hannah person, but like there was an ice storm, and all of a sudden I lost power. And for multiple days. And it was freezing. But now I'm not alone. There were many thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were in the same situation. And just so happened that there was a woman that was had said, I really want to volunteer at your ministry. And she had fairly recently married. She had been she had a husband that had left years and years and years ago, and then now she was married to this wonderful man. And good night, he came in and he just soft spoken. All of a sudden, he did this, he did that. He got my car out of the. You know, it's like. He thought ahead of things, and I'm pretty good at thinking ahead, but there were some things I was trying to figure out. I'm not sure what to do here. And it is such a blessing when, and I viewed them as like a gift from God to ultimately finally get me to a hotel, and I was able to do work there. But you know, we had a lot of hotels that also the generators went out. So it's not like, I kept thinking, now what do I need to do about, and I am a, what do I do about this next? But sometimes I didn't know what my options were. And I'm thinking, I'm just listening to you, I hear that you have a great confidence in this wonderful pastor, because you said she's wonderful, and that there are people you have met. Is it possible that you could communicate accurately the scenario and just say, is there someone that you think might be able to help me with this walking through this part here? And now I'm not saying that this is that she's the resource for you. I'm just saying there may be one of these new people in your life who where they're called by God to be a wise counselor to you. And a wise counselor means, because the Bible says there's wisdom in many counselors, there are people who've gone through things that you haven't gone through. You've not gone through the death of a mate. Well, you have now, but you had not previously. And there are many things you're learning. Well, there's nothing like a widow or a widower who's been there, done that, to make that person wise, and who can give accurate, wise counsel.
And the pastor and her husband lost a daughter about a year and a half ago, I think. Mm. So both of them are delightful people.
Mm.
They were totally broken and put together by God, and it's a whole miracle story. It's really incredible, but they have been really kind and gentle and so just so wonderful. And I think that maybe my children would, I don't know, but either someone from his church or her church or my church. I mean, between the three of them, we've got to find somebody, you know.
Yeah, I think perhaps talk to this husband and wife, explain the situation. Sometimes a son can listen better to a man. I can't agree. I don't think that's always the case. What you've got to have is somebody wise, it's great if it's a couple, because but you think ahead of what is it helpful? What is helpful for your children to understand? Part of it is if you do not have peace from God about selling your home, and I believe in a previous call, you had said that they started walking out with your items without your permission. This is totally not right. And I'm thinking to work up the guidelines of what is appropriate, but I would seek counsel from them in terms of the wisdom, since they've lost, as you've indicated, someone very, very, very close, very dear to them. They understand loss, and you can help them, help your kids, by letting others, in this case, this couple, communicate what it's like to lose someone very intimately, very tenderly, and then I think they could have wisdom, but then also to address the issue of what are the options. Now, my recollection again from a previous conversation is they were thinking that the house is too big for you to maintain.
That's right.
Now, there are options there, and I'm thinking of one person in particular who, after her mother died, now she has three people. Well, it's there are two additional people. My friend has two other females. They each have their room. One was a former principal of a school. The other worked at our ministry in events for Hope for the Heart. I knew, both of them, and now they are a threesome and enjoying life together, life in terms of, just sharing, and yet it's they're all paying my friend. I'm friends with all of them, but the point is, they're paying the owner of the house rent, and they even share, you know, food for cooking, and you know, just it's
sure.
it's a great relationship, and
right.
and it's an answer for all of them. And so my point is, yes, the house may be too big for you by yourself. It may be an answer to prayer for, you know, several other, one other person or two other persons or even three, because they even had another, I'm going to say a fourth, who came in who was the victim of domestic violence. And for quite a while, you know, for months, and I knew that person, and she was helped beyond measure. To her whole sense of self-esteem was changed, and it was a answer to prayer. So I'm saying that there, we don't know what God's going to do. You can't know for sure, but I think if your kids understand that there is not just one option, just sell the house. It may be that this, I think it's looking at the options. And, but it may be that you're going to need, you know, people, not just you, whether it's the couple or a couple of friends to just talk through it. I loved it when my mother had friends, by the way, that it was just, I think about, here's a friend of my mom's named Sarah, and she was fabulous. And then another friend named Mary Nance. And so she was just great, so different in skills and what they had to offer my mother when she became a widow, a young widow. Mm-hmm. And I just watched, and it was just precious. Now, they didn't move into my mom's home, but my goodness, the role that these friends had, and then mother had a Bible study in her home. Mother couldn't teach a Bible study, but I mean, it was just, next thing you know, we have, I mean, the house is just, you know, pushed to the max in terms of all these people wanting to learn the Word of God at my mom's home. Mother had the home to be available. She was too new of a Christian to teach it, but there, you know, you just watch how God uses when someone is a widow. And in this case, what you can know for sure is the Bible says in Isaiah, your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. He becomes your provider, your protector, when no longer do you have a husband who's your provider, protector. And as such, because of being a widow, your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. And so I think the issue is for you right now to be saying, okay, Lord, would you please put into my mind and my heart the people I need to go to, the people that can come alongside me and even talk to my son and my daughter, because they need to hear from others. They need wise counsel because they haven't been here before. And you can't make somebody become wise overnight. There's got to be time and experience or listening to those who are wise. And so meanwhile, right now, I'm going to ask, would you pray for our friend, Becky? We're calling her Becky. And the reason I want you to pray for her, I want you to pray for God to put into her life the people that are wise, who can help the family dynamic for her. And Lord, thank you that you are a prayer answering God. Thank you that you know the truth that her children need to hear. And may there be, ultimately, your will be done, your perfect will.
If you have questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 biblical counseling keys to address it. Call our care center at 800-488-HOPE. Again, that's 800-488-4673. Now, if you'd like to speak with June specifically about a problem going on in your life, please call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Follow the prompts and leave a message for us, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. At Hope for the Heart, we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying, you hang on to hope.